राधाम माधवम पुण्य विहारी
Oh.
te Vasudevaya. Today, a verse from the Padma Purana that is also found in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Matya Lila. You will find it there, 22nd chapter, text 113. My dear devotees, I have jumped out of the natural order because this is in relationship to today's morning's class, and I feel at least it sets up a motto for our entire Eastern retreat. It brings the essence of Krishna consciousness to one point. So please repeat after me. Do we have it? Yes. Smatavya satatam Vishnur.
Smatavya satatam Vishnur.
Vismatavyo nadyatu
chet. Vismatavyo nadyatu chet.
Sarve vidhi nishedasyo.
Sarve vidhi nishedasyo.
Etayor eva kinkarah.
Etayor eva kinkarah.
Please. Someone of you chant.
Smartavya satatam Vishnu.
Smartavya satatam Vishnu. Smartavyo na jatu che.
Sarve
vidhi nishedasyo. Sarva vidhi nishedasyo.
Netavyo eva kinkara.
Please, one Vaishnavi.
Smartavya satatam Vishnu.
Smartavyo na jatu chet.
Sarve vidhi nishedasyo. Etayor eva kinkaraha.
I'm mindful of the time and really wish to end on time so that the rest of the retreat schedule can be maintained. So, smatavya, to be remembered,
yes.
Satatam,
always,
Vishnu,
Vishnu.
Lord Vishnu,
vismatavya,
to be forgotten,
na,
not. Jatu chit.
At any time.
Sarve.
All.
Vidinishedaha. Rules and prohibitions mentioned in the revealed scripture or given by the spiritual master. Rules and prohibitions mentioned in the revealed scripture or given by the spiritual master. Syuhu should be etayoho of these principles. Prabhupada makes a bracket here. Always to remember Krishna or Vishnu and never to forget him.
Eva.
Certainly.
Kinkaraha.
The servants. Krishna is the origin of Lord Vishnu. He should always be remembered and never forgotten at any time. All the rules and prohibitions mentioned in the Shastras should be servants of these two principles. principles. Srila Prabhupada's purport. This verse is a quotation from where? Yes, from the Padma Purana. There are many regulative principles in the Shastras and directions given by the spiritual master. Now, Prabhupada says why we have so many rules and regulations. No, people always ask when we meet them, oh my God, this is, there's a lot which you do and which you don't do. These regulative principles should act as servants of the basic principle, that is, one should always remember Krishna and never forget him. This is possible when one chants the Hare Krishna mantra. Therefore, one must strictly chant the Hare Krishna Maha mantra 24 hours daily. One may have other duties to perform under the direction of the spiritual master, but he must first abide by the spiritual master's order to chant a certain number of rounds. In our Krishna consciousness movement, we have recommended that the neophyte chant at least 16 rounds. This is for beginners, no? Neophytes. This chanting of 16 rounds is absolutely necessary if one wants to remember Krishna and not forget him. Now comes a very famous sentence of Prabhupada. Of all the regulative principles, the spiritual master's order to chant at least 16 rounds is most essential. Remember, we are talking about a basic principle here, that is to remember Krishna never and not forget him. And this principle should be as accompany us, like our breath accompanies us, 24 hours a day. There's no limit for breathing, or we breathe only 2 hours a day. No, this would not be good. And Prabhupada says that this basic principle of remembering Krishna and not forgetting him is best, the most simple form is to chant Hare Krishna. And for the beginners, 16, but for the normal members, 24 hours. Mm-hmm. You are laughing. I don't know. I think you are laughing because you understand the point. The point here is what? Yeah. Everything else is serving that, including chanting. Now Prabhupada gives other examples how we can remember Krishna, because he's obviously mindful that we have other duties to do. Now, in the early times when this was written, most of the devotees went out on book distribution, and in India, the life membership program, where we enrolled people and supply as life members for a donation, we would finance our preaching operations by this program. That was Srila Prabhupada's idea, and yes, therefore many devotees were out to enlist life members. But the point is not to sell books. The point is not to enlist life members. The point is, yes, you get the, yes, thank you. One may sell books or enlist life members or render some other service, but these duties are not ordinary duties. These duties serve as an impetus for
remembering Krishna.
Yes, you get it. when one goes with a Sangatan party or sells books, he naturally remembers that he's going to sell Krishna's books. In this way, he's remembering Krishna. My dear sir, I'm giving you now a book, and the book distributor, he may say, this is a book which is coming from the rich spiritual tradition of India, but in his mind he knows that. When he gets this book, he will, it's a book on Krishna, he will remember Krishna. And I'm doing this now in Krishna's service, who wants people to become Krishna conscious, no? When one goes, now a second example, when one goes to enlist a life member, he talks about Krishna and thereby remembers him. Smartavya satatam Vishnu vismartavyo na jatu chit. The conclusion is that one must act in such a way that he will always remember Krishna. One must refrain from doing things that make him forget Krishna. These two principles form the basic background of Krishna consciousness. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashnaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namini Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nivishesha Shunyavadi Paskatyare Satarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama It is well known in the secular society and in our movement as well that when you act, it's good if you have like a mission, a statement which reminds you on what is the whole purpose why you do things. This helps the individual members to stay on track really, and to always be connected with the essence of a movement or anything. For instance, I do come from, I mean, my father was a high-ranking director in the German railways, and he told us that with these operations he had 5,000 people under him, but the whole you know, there are many people for instance behind the operations in a train station. And he told us what we are trying to do is anyone who is in our railway must understand what is the purpose of the German railway. It is to transport people and goods in the most efficient and pleasing way. This is what we are all about. We help people to and goods to get from A to B. I remember there was some quarrel in the train station where my father was in charge, and the people who were there had you know, difficulties with each other, like we also, you know, that is to be expected when human beings come together. And at that time, my father called these. There was a huge gathering, and he said, "I need you to understand one thing. We are serving people. Germany was destroyed after the Second World War. It was bombed. But to come up, we need now to help people to move from A to B. We need the families to meet. We need the goods, the cars, which are produced in Braunschweig to go to Munich. This is, we are a service-oriented company, and our mission is, we are not here to, our mission is just that, to help people, and whatever, and we do whatever is good for that. Everything else is good. So if you have quarrel amongst yourself, as it is to be expected, remember, this is not the main point why you're here. You're here to help people to get from A to B, and just put your quarrels on second place and solve them, but let not the operation suffer from your inability to get along with each other. I think you understand, mission statement is very important. What are we all about? I really feel that in Krishna consciousness, if we don't remember this mission, that we are all about, what do you remember? We are for what? Remembering Krishna.
Never forgetting.
Yeah. Now this is an entirely new concept. We are not remembering Krishna. We remember what is in our interest. No, we need to eat. We need to. So many duties are there. It's almost like shifting the course of the conditioned souls from me, to you, Krishna. And it requires some deep thought. How will we do this? 25 throughout the day, you know, how will we do this when we chant? How will we do this when we cook? How will we do this when we have to solve our interpersonal difficulties? How will we realize this? And my dear devotees, it's not simple. It's something which requires a sincere thought. But this is the essence of all the scriptures. It is said that from all the Vedic scriptures, there is the essence are the Upanishads, and from all these Upanishads again, it's the Gita Upanishad. Who knows what is the name of the Gita Upanishad, by which we know this book in our movement? Bhagavad Gita, yes. In the Gita Mahatmya, text 6, it is said, Savupanishado gavo dokta gopalanandana pato vatsa sudhir bhakta duktam gitam ritam mahat. No? The Gita Upanishad or Bhagavad Gita is the essence of all the Upanishads. And now an analogy is given. It's just like a cow. And Lord Krishna, who's famous as Cowboy Boy, yes, you know everything, is milking this cow. He's taking the essence from the Gita, just like a cowherd boy. He has the cow. It's a big cow. And then he goes and then he says, Gomata, I'm taking now your essence. And he gets the milk. Now, when you want to get the milk, the best way, natural way, is you have a calf nearby, and the mother cow is so, oh, my calf, and out of affection, it is easy for the cow to release her milk, no? So Arjuna is also helps, is there, and he is like the calf, so that Krishna can now get the essence of the Gita, the Upanishads, can get it out. It needed Arjuna to be there so that Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita, no? And learned scholars and pure devotees, I have here my translation, this means all of you, are meant to drink the nectarian milk of the Bhagavad Gita. So yes, for the devotees, the essence of the Vedic scripture comes in form of the Bhagavad Gita. Now let us boil down the milk a little. We want here some burfi, some very sweet substance. If you boil down the entire Bhagavad Gita, the Gita has in the first chapter mostly focuses on karma. Karma yoga, it is done, the activities for Krishna. And the back chapters, the last six chapters, they focus mostly on jnana yoga. But the essence of the Gita that is kept in the middle, well protected, left and right, is bhakti yoga. So from the 7th to the 12th chapter, Krishna talks about the bhakti yoga. And again here, there are two chapters, 9th and 10th chapter, which present the essence of bhakti. Now, again, in the 9th chapter, this is the middle, is the last verse, which presents the essence of the essence of the essence. For those who are knowing how to boil milk, you know, you boil it down. Be careful, it shouldn't be too hot, otherwise the milk burns. And then the water evaporates and the milk thickens until it is this caramel-like substance from which you can make the burfi. Yes, I recommend to you, we have burfis which we offer to the Lord. Maybe in our sweet shop it is available for you for a nominal price, you know. So therefore, let us make it simple. The essence of the essence of the essence of the essence is this chapter in the Bhagavad Gita, which, just to make it sure that we all understand, is repeated twice in the Bhagavad Gita. It said that this shloka, this verse which you will hear now, which is the essence of the entire Vedic scriptures, you know, let's see, is the Paribhasita Sutra. That means the verse which, like a key, opens up the entire text for our understanding. If you have the entrance key for a big house, you turn it around and then you can go inside the house. So the key of all this is here for you. You will, I think, be very happy to chant it along with me. We say it all together. Manmana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji mang namaskuru Mami vaisyasi yoktva evam atmanam matparayanah. Engage your mind always in thinking of me. Become my devotee. Oh, stop. Isn't that the same thing? Thinking of Krishna. That's what devotees do. But Krishna says here, the second point, become my devotee. Is he, the English word is redundant here. Is he repeating him? How boring. If he repeats. No, my dear devotees, there are people who always think of Krishna, but they are not devotees. I wrote a few examples down. Kamsa, who was remembering 24 hours Krishna, but how did he remember him? With devotion? No, he was afraid. When someone gave him a glass of orange juice, I heard in one of the scriptures, the light was reflected in the orange juice and it reminded him of Krishna's effulgence. And he was like, ah, he's going to kill me. He couldn't see, he remembered Krishna all the time. He was very Krishna conscious, you could say, much more than most of you. But he was not a devotee. So therefore Krishna must make it clear, always think of me and become my devotee. There are other examples of people who always think of Krishna. Do you remember a few from the Bhagavata? Shishupal. Did he do it out of devotion? What was his thing? Envy. He was so envious of Krishna. And it came all out at this yajna where he just hurled offense after offense. You know, he spoke like so enviously about Krishna. Someone else said, Hiranyakashipu, how did he think of Krishna always? Pure hate. It was pure hatred. What he said about the Lord is just too much to you for you to bear. He once said that the Lord is so afraid of me. He is therefore hidden in the hearts of everyone, but I'm going to find him. You know, when he asked his son, where is your Lord? I don't see him. Where's he hiding? He was like this pure hatred. He wanted to kill the Lord. Very Krishna conscious soul, but not like a devotee. Therefore Krishna, they are not qualified for this. But we are embarking on a journey here in our movement to remember him as a devotee. And the last, then there are two other practices which we should do. I think you remember. Offer obeisances and worship him. No, these are, but the essence now of all these four practices: think of me, become my devotee. What else? Worship and offer obeisances. Do I have the offer obeisances and worship? There is one essence. What is the essence? To remember Krishna always and what? My dear devotees, I'm known as an unpleasant person. But I need to do it. Please, you will see in a moment why this is so important. Because I don't think we have already done this. I was, in preparation to this, for this lecture, I was, you know, in our little ashram, I went and made a walk. I need to walk now as I become older, and chanted japa. And as I was chanting japa, I was noticing the birds. They were very enthusiastically chirping in the forest where I walk. It was very impressive. Then I noticed there are puddles of water. It had rained. Then, my dear devotees, where we are, the spring is, and all the many trees, not two types of trees, are full of blossom. And I thought, wow, and so on. And after about half an hour of, no, or 20 minutes, I noticed, hey, Satchinandan Swami, what are you doing at the moment? And my mind said, I'm appreciating the spring. But you're chanting, no? Oh yeah, I'm chanting. And what is the point of doing this? Oh yeah, I have to remember Krishna and not forget him. This now needs a serious correction. So I stopped my walk, I leaned on my stick, that my Lord, I'm now here in this forest chanting. Please help me to remember you. Just something. The first thing which came to mind is, oh Krishna, Binatvang Namino Namino. I'm Binatvang Nama Namino. I'm not different from my name. So I'm here now with you. Are you here? Are you there? No, Krishna, I'm not there, but I said, I'm going to change now something. So I chanted, being mindful, oh Krishna, you're so kind. Oh Krishna, please engage me in your service. Oh Krishna, I'm now in the evening of my life. Death is also coming. I have not learned to remember you, not even when I chant your name. Oops, Krishna, I'm at the beginning, end of my this life, but at the beginning of my Krishna consciousness. And something came to mind at that time, which forms the basis of the remainder of this class. What does it actually mean to think of Krishna? How do you think of Krishna? There are several answers. For this, you think of the name first. You think of the form of Krishna, like we see when we look in the altar. You think of the qualities of Krishna, his pastimes. But on that fateful morning where I chanted, I thought, something came to my mind from the great teacher Ramanujacharya, who very practically gives a commentary to this verse, always think of me, the Bhagavad Gita verse. Would you like to hear his commentary?
Yes.
I believe, my dear devotees, it will help you very much to come to the next level of Krishna consciousness, from the neophyte state to a more absorbed state. Please listen to his commentary. I will try to say it. It is not in verse form, Mayi apara karunya shoshilya sondarya madhurya gambirya audarya vatsalya jalado nivishta manabhava. Meaning, to overthink of Krishna means to immerse our mind in the seven expansive and deep oceans of Lord Krishna's. And now he gives seven qualities of Krishna. But many of you don't speak English as a mother tongue like me. Expansive ocean doesn't mean it's many rupees you have to pay, or many euros or so. Now, expensive is from the word expand. These qualities are vast, and they are always expanding. And also these qualities are very, very deep. You can go in both directions, zoop and zoop, horizontally and vertically you can go into it, and we try to do this today. So here are the qualities a devotee should think about. Compassion. In our scriptures, Vaishnava scriptures, it says that the devotees are mostly thinking in this world of Krishna, vatsalatva, his quality of taking care, like a parent takes care of the child, you know. Very merciful. And we will hear an example, three examples from the Padma Purana in a moment. So that's how you think of the Lord. Oh, he's so kind to me, he's so wonderful to me, so compassionate to me. The second is you think of Krishna's good character, Shushilya. This is like an ocean. He is an ocean of good qualities. You can go this way and that way. And we will, about this we will hear in Switzerland. It was a long subject. The next quality is you think about Krishna, how he looks. Means his beauty. Then the next is his sweetness, his gravity, his benevolence, and his affection. So let us make it simple. We only talk about one thing. I also don't like lectures where I'm just overloaded and then I lose my direction and can't take anything with me. We only talk about the expansive. I hope I said it correctly in English. Go Krishna, you are my English teacher. Expensive, no? Expensive. Yeah. And how would you pronounce this?
Expensive.
Yeah. There's a subtle difference somehow. You know. It means we should absorb ourselves in one quality. And when we do this, my dear devotee, then this quality comes into our inner mind, in our heart. Let me give you an example which will water your mouth. The rasagula. I will say it in the Bengali way, because then you feel it's more juicy. Rasagula. You know. So it's some milk thing, milk ball. Milk, like a little, like cheese, and you then immerse it into the sweet sugar water, and while it lies in that sweet sugar water, it absorbs the sugar, and then when you eat it, then it explodes in your mouth. I mean, if you don't know rasagula and gulabjans, you know, you will eat it and you will spray it all over your neighbor and in your neighborhood. You have to know how to keep it inside, no? You absorb it. I was once brutally attacked on in a public program on a stage in Serbia. There was a group of protesters who were thinking of national pride, and they felt our program where we chanted Hare Krishna is not from the Serbian culture, and very angrily they threw bombs into tear gas bombs in the audience, and they bombed me on the stage. So I was so enthusiastic, I thought this is our own fog machine. We had for mystical effects, we had a fog machine. I didn't notice I was going, you know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. But then I saw the people were going down, you know, like when you take a sickle and you take down the grains, you know. They were falling. I thought, well, maybe they are just funny today. I was just so blind to the truth that we were bombed, and then I also went down. I fell from the stage. There was, by Krishna's mercy, one devotee who understood what was happening, and he caught me and he immediately pulled me out of the hall. And did resuscitation to get me breathing again, but the poison was all over in my blood. So what I did, what I knew is, you need the process of osmosis. That's you put something into a salty thing, and then the salt will suck out what is in the cells. So I went to the Dead Sea, and I was just trying to spend as much time in the Dead Sea as possible, but it was so cold. I thought it's so nice and Mediterranean in the Dead Sea. It was not. But then I found a spa, and I boiled myself in the salty thing, and it took most of the poison out. Yes, this is what happens when you immerse yourself. It does something to you. You think in an immersive way about Krishna's compassion, and it will take something out of you, your self-centeredness, and it will give you some good ability to remember Krishna. This should be done. In the Katyayana Sanghita, it says you should not forget Krishna also. The verse is Yan muhutam chanam vapi vasudevo nachintyate sahanistan mahachitram sabranti sa chavikriya. Not thinking. You remember, we are talking about always remembering Krishna and never forgetting him. So the Katyayana Samhita says, not thinking of Vasudev even for a moment is destruction, a great fault, an absolute error, and a sin. Wow, now the Shastras are going to teach us. Yes, we need to think of Krishna and not forget him. And this is how you start. According to our Vaishnava subjects, you start about Karunya Jaladi. Krishna's is an ocean of compassion or mercy, and you immerse yourself. Would you like to try to do this?
Yes.
Now, it is interesting. Upon a little study, I mean, I'm not like our Hari Parshad and Keshava Maharaj. I'm not so I joined very early. I'm still a little young. And but in this little thing, I found 6 different types of how Krishna shows mercy to his devotees. The first way in which Krishna gives his mercy, or the form of mercy, is karuna. Karuna comes out of the tenderness of the heart. It's a soft heart, and causes the person who has karuna to do something that is helpful and favorable for the object of his compassion, even if that means to make a self-sacrifice. No? So this type of mercy is when Krishna feels so soft-hearted about his devotees that he wants to do now something for the benefit of the devotee. We find this type of going out of one's comfort zone and taking care of another in this world in one example. The mother, how much the mother takes care and gives us the milk of her breast. Therefore, in the Dharma Shastras, Krishna it says, you can disobey your father. No problem. In the Dharma Shastra, it even says, you can disobey your guru, but you just cannot disobey your mother, because the mother has given you life in this world. Now Krishna says Savadaman Parijaja, give up that type of social dharma. We are not going to disobey our guru when our mother says come back home and take a job then, and are you going to make some sense, No, for the Sanatan Dharma has other rules than social dharma. But I just wanted to highlight the special gift of our mother to us. I know that some of you have dysfunctional relationships to your parents. I know. You might like to do something about this. There is a description in the scriptures how these three types of parents show mercy to their small ones. It's the fish way, the tortoise way, and the bird way. Dashana Dhyana Samshvaya Matsyakoma Avivangama Svanyapatyani Pushnanti Tataham Apipatmaja. It means, just like the fish, the tortoise and the bird nourish their offspring by respectively watching them, meditating on them, and keeping them in physical contact, so do I maintain my devotees, O lotus-born Brahma. The Lord is speaking. So what does the fish do? The fish is watching over the small ones. Krishna is doing this also. You can see, we live at a lake, and I can see these fish mothers, and they have like 10 children. They are very productive, and they are there. You can see when you are silent and don't move, they swim where you sit, and they're watching them. And if there is some, if they go off course, the fish mother will come and notch them that they go. There's the tortoise. Tortoise is quite interesting. They go to the beach and put down their eggs and in the beach, and then they go back into the ocean. But all the time they meditate, and by that mental energy, that mental frequency, you can say, if you know about frequencies, That is how the little ones hatch, and then they run to the ocean. And the bird, how does the... So in the same way, Krishna meditates about each one of us. We all know when he comes and corrects us, no? I have heard many of you saying to me, oh, I think Krishna arranged this for me. I heard this morning from someone. He had prayed to Radha Madan Mohan, please, I want to do some extra service for you. In the next half hour, it was a very serious prayer, someone said, I'm going to go on book distribution in Holland. Would you like to come along? And immediately the devotee understood, yeah, Krishna heard my prayer, watched me, he had a close watch on me, and now he sent this devotee so that I can go out and book distribution and surrender. So Krishna also meditates about us, and then Krishna keeps us in physical contact. Physical contact means we can, he comes as a deity and he is there. We can see him, we can dress him, we can touch him, and so on. No? So this is how Krishna maintains his devotees here in this world, out of his karuna, no, the mercy in his heart, which is very soft, which manifests, and he watches over us, he sometimes corrects us, he meditates about us, and what else? He keeps us close. I sometimes meet devotees who have given up the path of Krishna consciousness. We have a very, very interesting fluctuation. It is a matter of concern also. But often devotees come after many years and say, you know, Maharaj, I did all kinds of things. There was no bottle of alcohol that was safe from me. I did all kinds of things, but I didn't feel Krishna never left me. He watched over me, and he was not happy about how I was hurting and harming myself. And he arranged that now I'm back, and I'm back in the process. Mm-hmm. He meditates about us. He makes such arrangements. Yes, 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 he's there, he's very much there. Another form is Kripa. This is a little bit different. Here Krishna reciprocates with the inner attitude of a devotee when that devotee feels wretched. Wretched is an English word, it means low, you know, and very dainya, dinata, when he feels fallen. Then Krishna gives his kripa. Rupa Goswami prays about this. I have it here. Katam idam api vanchitam niskrishta. I will not try to chant the whole mantra because I'm not sure about the meter. So he addresses Radha and Krishna. Rupa Goswami, you must see him in his last composition, Utkalika Valari. He has entered deep into the forest of Vrindavan. He feels his years in his life is coming to the end, and he now throws himself on the ground. He feels he has not seen the direct darshan of the Lord, and he prays. He says, Krishna, please reveal to me the sound of your flute mixed with the sound of tss, 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 tss. What could that tss, tss
be? The anchor bells of whom? Radharani. Yes, please. I'm deaf. I'm dead. Awaken my sense of hearing by. I want to hear your flute song and mixed with that sound of the anchor bells and the singing of the two. I would like to awaken my dead olfactory sense, it means smelling, by smelling the beautiful fragrance that comes from you, that wafts through the forest of Vrindavan. It's musk and kumkum. No, I wish to smell that. I would also like to see the beauty of the form, which is like a streak of lightning coming from a black cloud. Who's the black cloud? And who's the lightning? Radharani. Yes, you know everything already. Yes. Then he says, I'm aware, I'm here, and I'm asking for something that not even Brahma and Shiva get. But it's not my fault that I'm so greedy, because you're so wonderful. You know, when a greedy man, he doesn't think of his qualification. He just wants to get it. You know, if you're greedy for money, you are going to, I mean, I don't want to give unethical examples here. If you're greedy for Mahaprasad, you don't think, am I qualified? You will know where to stand. When the plate comes out, you will perhaps chant a verse so that you are considered to be very pious and rasik, and then you will try to get the Mahaprasad. But somehow, you know, I could tell you some tricks, you know. I'm 50 years doing this, I know a lot. So, the fact of being disqualified does not stop a person who is greedy to receive or go for the not yet obtained gift. And this is Rupa Goswami's prayer. Oh, protect us from suffering, Radha and Krishna. This person should not desire at all these things. They should be desired by elevated devotees. But the luster of your kripa, Atava kripa duty, a duty means luster. The luster of your mercy is devoid of distinguishing elevated from fallen people. This is your kripa. It shines excellently. So this is a devotee who can be humble and be in a very Dean, I feel very fallen, my Lord. And you don't say this just like they say in London so many things and don't mean it. You have to mean it, of course. The Lord can hear your sound if you mean it or if you don't mean it. So then if you just mean it, you are entitled to request the mercy, because Krishna has that type of mercy. It's called kripa, which is given to someone who does not deserve it at all. You may sometimes feel when you pass beggars that some of these beggars, you know, you have some criminal aura around you, but still, if he is very much begging and he's very hungry, you say, oh, why not? Hey, I have 10 rupees for you, you know. And you must be, of course, a little bit careful. There's a begging mafia also. It's very unpleasant. Not all the beggars are beggars, you know. Anyways, so you give also your kindness, perhaps like a doctor gives the kindness to all kinds of people. So Krishna is the perfect doctor who gives the medicine against the disease of birth and death. And his mercy is like
Kripa. Now I have to just look. I will give one last example. There's anugraha, there is daya, but there is also anukampa. That is a certain type of mercy where Krishna's heart is trembling. The example Rupa Goswami gives is when Krishna was remembering Bhishma, his heart was very moved. Bhishma was lying he was felt and he was lying on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. He was lying on arrows, some say 64 sharp arrows were in his body. He had been pierced by the arrows. 64, that's not something small, you know. But he didn't want to. He had this mystical potency. He could determine the time of his death. So Krishna was remembering him and his suffering, you know, for 64. They went right through, and some went through the vital points, you know. If something goes a little externally through the skin, you can still lift an apple to your mouth and eat it, you know, but not if it goes through a vital point, which immobilizes you. So Krishna remembered Bhishma. And it is that Krishna was bathed in compassion with tears from his quivering eyes. You know, when someone starts to cry at the beginning, the eyes go and the water comes. And Krishna was that is. The last form of Krishna's mercy is prasad. And I will end here because we come now to prasadam time. I wanted to end with anukampa, but I couldn't. On the other page of my notebook, there's prasad. Prasad means grace. Some people, comes as a result of having pleased or prasidati Bhagavan. If I please, it's assumed, if I cook nice things, you know, and I go and offer that with the right attitude to the Lord, he is pleased, and as a result, he gives us his prasad. Yes, you know about this. Prasad, you should not think only food conscious, although that is very close to our hearts. But prasad means all kinds of mercy that is given upon being pleased or prasidati. Now, please don't think that Krishna necessarily always gives his prasad only when he is pleased. You can't make a deal with this. Okay, I'm giving you this, and now, hey, my part now. But the general idea is that Bhakta tries to please the Lord, prasidati, and the Lord is responding in kind. Now, to receive all these types of mercy, it is very important to come into a mood which I request you to practice during this retreat. It's a sadhana of humility. We all have heard humility, but you can also, even if you are not humble, you can do a sadhana or a practice that will make you humble. Are you interested in this?
Yes.
Why?
Because we need it.
We need it. Get the mercy. Yes. Anything. Yes. With your body, The sadhana is you bow down, like Krishna says in the Gita, Namaskuru, bow down. Mr. and Sister, bow down. And you do also menial service. Have you heard the word menial? It means things like to cleaning the bathroom. You know, it's things which are not so much recognized and so on. Because why menial? Because this is sadhana to gain what?
Humility.
Humility, yes. In speech, there is a sadhana. Be truthful with your speech and glorify the Lord and His devotees. No? You might have noticed yesterday in our Hariparshad's very wonderful opening session, he made it a point to glorify his audience in a humble mood. He said, actually, yes, we will all build a garland, but what brings us together is not me. I'm an insignificant thread, but it's the needle-like words of Rupa Goswami. Yes, this is humility in speech. Body, speech, and now mind. Ooh, this is the most difficult thing. We can smile, we can be very humble, but our mind is not bowing down. No, why should it? Why should it? I don't want to bow down, says the mind. To crack the mind, crack is not the word, but to make the mind bow down, you will require something that is called in English self-introspection. You need to look at yourself with a good eye and ask yourself these questions. How is it with you, Satchinanda Swami? Do you commit offenses? Yes, I do. My chanting is, there are some offenses. Self-introspection. Look at you, yourself, like you would look at another person. May you think, well, I'm going to find out his fault. He's not so humble as he speaks. I'm going to find that out. I'm going to watch him very closely. With this fault-finding mentality, do it to yourself. You will find many things you can correct, many things. But we are very good in projecting that, we sourcing that out, you know, that type of humility. And finally, you ask yourself the question, am I real? Am I a Kapata, Vaishnav? And self-introspection, and then humility in the heart means really, it is a very powerful practice. It is called repentance. Oh my Lord, I'm not so as I should be. I'm sorry. So with these four sadhanas, humility of the body, of the speech, of the
mind,
that's the most difficult, and of the heart, no? There you come into this position where Krishna likes to give you his mercy. One moment. If you want mercy, don't go like this when the rain comes. Nothing comes inside the cup when the rain comes. But if you turn around from me, and think, oh Krishna, you are so wonderful. Oh Krishna, I'm unfortunately not so wonderful yet. Working on it, you know, not to improve myself and get an open heart by humility. My dear devotees, the Kripa, the Karuna will be given to you, the Kripa will be given to you, the Anugraha will be given to you, the Daya will be given to you, the Anukampa and the Prasad, mercy of Krishna, will come in your direction. Remember this. Therefore, Mahaprabhu gave the sadhana. He said, one can always chant, if one is Trinadapi, no, humble, no? But there is a sadhana to become humble, which you need to do. It's not just not just the speech. If the speech is only humble, but the body is not bowing down, the mind is not doing self-inspection, the heart is not feeling sorry, then the word, I'm your humble servant, is a nice word, but it does not mean that much. Good. Now, this is the end. I will not be able to take questions at this stage. If you do have questions, please, perhaps you write them down in your notebook or you keep them. I want to make very sure that you take now your good prasadam and that we are back. Actually, Gaurahari will give us the orientation when the next program starts. And we also want you to have a little free time, you know, where you catch up talking with each other like this. But thank you very much for listening. Immerse yourself in the first ocean of Krishna, that is? Compare Karuna. Karuna. Swim in it. Go under. Up till now you have just walked the ocean's edge, keeping your dhoti and saris a little up. That's not right. You need to throw the garments away, or the external coverings away, and just dive into the ocean. And then you will be blissful.